Good morning, HCC. Wake up. Brendan Byrne here filling in for Chris Oviedo this morning. This very chilly morning. It feels like winter has finally come. And with the cold season, we need to prepare ourselves for the oncoming wave of colds and other unfortunate viruses and, you know, things that are just, we're more prone and susceptible to out there. And while it's important, you know, to go to the doctor, get your shots, there's a bunch of valid, holistic ways that you can take care of yourself. And to talk about that, I am joined with Claudia Wingo, the Health Promotion Department Chair at Maryland University of Integrative Health. Claudia, how are you this morning?
I'm quite well. I'm feeling toasty because I'm by the heater.
Oh, good. I wore my cardigan today. I knew it was going to be a cold day. I was so excited I got to whip out a sweater finally today. I've been waiting. So, Claudia, today we're talking about priming the immune system for colder weather with herbs and foods, right? So if it's all the same to you, why don't we just get right in with our first question?
Okay.
So as the thermometer continues to dip, flu season is starting, and unfortunately COVID is continuing to stay with us at this time. It is important to prepare for the cold months and, you know, help our bodies fight for our health through practices that support our immune system. So let's start better by trying to better understand what our immune system is and its job.
So people often ask me where the immune system is, and it's throughout the entire body. And so it is, our lymph is part of it. Our lymph runs parallel to our blood supply. It is our spleen. We have lymph in our throat, our tonsils, and our adenoids. We even have it through our digestive system. And so our immune system is all over our body, and it's also part of our blood, as in white blood cells. And so, you know, in reality, this is something that we need to look at throughout the whole year. I always talk about one of the most important things that we should be doing is to be thinking about self-care. And I think that, you know, self-care is really that intentional action to take care of your physical, mental, spiritual, emotional health. And right. I think that when you, the best time to really think about this is when seasons change. And so I think we're doing it all the time, but I actually think that as we hit kind of autumn and winter, then we really have to think about how we're going to be supporting our immune system as we go into those seasons, because we really need to kind of change some of our routines.
Right. Yeah. Fortunately, we gotta focus more on trying to take care of ourselves, especially during COVID. It's sometimes feels like it's a little bit harder. I got excited the other day. Well, not excited, a little bummed. I actually got sick for the first time since COVID started. Like, I've been sick since like end of 2019, I think. And then we went on vacation and I immediately caught a cold.
I mean, you know, see, that's the thing. I mean, one of the things about COVID that's been, there's very few silver linings, but this is a little teeny one. And that is that we actually were kind of quarantining ourselves in some ways, well, in lots of ways, but we were protecting ourselves, so we weren't out in crowds. And when we were wearing masks. And they found that it really did bring down the level of people getting colds and influenza. And they actually realized that it radically decreased asthma attacks. They never thought that asthma attacks were attached to colds and flus, but they found out that actually they believe they are. They're an exacerbating factor. And so in some ways, just actually kind of having those masks on and being aware of the possibility of spreading germs has taught us a few lessons. And so it's a hard way to learn, but we did learn. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say about, you know, as we go into winter is, I always think about seasonality of health. And, you know, this is really the time that we have naturally kind of come into ourselves. And so, you know, it's that kind of waning energy of the sun and the kind of waning life force energy of plants. And so we really need to think about nurturing ourselves because our thyroid downregulates as well. So I think we often expect to just feel exactly the same all through the year, but no, that does not happen. And so it kind of forces us to kind of go inside ourselves a bit, try to get more sleep and rest, because when it gets dark, you naturally want to kind of hunker down. And so it's kind of interesting because we are kind of coming out of this time of COVID, but not quite. And maybe it's a good thing that we're going into winter, because I think it will cause us to kind of continue to be a little bit careful. And I think we need to be.
Right. Absolutely. And that actually leads perfectly into my next question. So that's a great transition we have now. So speaking of like trying to basically recede into ourselves as the, you know, the cold months are approaching and we try to cope with the change in season, with that kind of understanding of how our immune system works, what's the best way to kind of support it as we start heading into these colder months? We want ourselves in our blankets and sweaters and go to sleep at 5 p.m. because it's dark outside.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, it's if you look at any of the traditional medicine traditions around the world, so Chinese, Ayurveda, kind of Western herbalism, I think they all have this kind of attitude that in the winter, you really have to kind of hunker down. It's interesting, in Chinese medicine, it's ruled by the element of water. And so they say that you really have to protect your kidneys and bladder. And so part of that is your adrenal glands as well. And so that is really our kind of fight or flight mechanism. And they talk about autumn or coming into winter as being a time that that it is about generosity. And so, you know, I think that whole kind of idea of generosity and gratitude is perfect for this time of season. You know, we're going into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the other holidays that are around this time. And it's about kind of coming together, thinking about really being grateful for what you have some, you know, some gratitude action steps in your life. Think about why you're happy with the people that you have in your life, and really start thinking about kind of deep nourishment and groundedness in yourself. And part of that is, you know, keeping warm and dry and thinking about having a routine that you will kind of stick to, because routine is actually really good for grounding us. Mm-hmm. And it's a time to really think about changing our diet as well. You know, so in the kind of spring and summer, we're having cold foods, we're eating watermelon and we're drinking lots of icy drinks. And as we start to come into the fall and winter, then you really want to be focusing on things that are kind of grounding and that will actually feed our microbiomes as well. And so, you think about in many of the traditions, they talk about foods that sweet. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, pecan pie sweet. I'm talking about both foods and herbs that are kind of berries, nuts, roots. So you're thinking about carrots and squash and turnips and sweet potatoes and, you know, pumpkin, and then, you know, the leafy greens as well. So
blueberry pie doesn't count, unfortunately.
No, sorry. Well, I think it might be slightly better than pecan, but we have kind of adulterated our taste buds so that, so that they don't really know what sweet is. So, you know, carbohydrates are sweet. So, you know, if you're chewing them, you know, after you're chewing them for a while, they become quite sweet. So grains, barley, not just, you know, the wheat that we're always eating and bread, but also wheat like Bulgare, cracked wheat. But some of the other classic grains like kamut or barley or buckwheat, you know, so, you know, really getting into the nutritious grains, seeds and nuts as well. And I think that that is a really good way to kind of start working your way into supporting your body as we go into winter. And also, I will say that that there are lots of different herbs that you can use for this season. But one thing I often want to talk about before we kind of get into herbs that you might be taking internally is that I also think this is a really good time to be giving yourself some kind of body treatments, you know, and, and really start to kind of scrub your skin and have aromatherapy schemes because often we start to get pretty congested. We're inside and there's, you know, the heat kind of dries us out. And so I often recommend kind of even if you don't have a cold, to actually have some aromatherapy steams, you know, once or twice a week, because I think it really kind of opens up the respiratory system. And if you use the right essential oils, it'll actually protect the respiratory system.
Right. That actually leads into the next thing I wanted to ask you. Like, we're talking about good ways of trying to take care of yourself and, you know, help yourself out, your body out during this time. So, like, is there a physiological change that the body is dealing with, like when, as the weather gets colder?
Well, you know, I think that naturally, as I said, we tend to downregulate. Our metabolism tends to downregulate. And so, you know, the thyroid gland is really connected to our circadian rhythms. So it's, you know, it's really affected by light and so is, you know, some of our hormones, so melatonin and cortisol. Cortisol brings us up, wakes us up. Melatonin brings us down and puts us to sleep. And those are both controlled by light. And so again, we often gets raised more quickly because it gets dark early. And so we tend to get tired. There's a reason for that. You know, we kind of artificially keep ourselves going with, you know, lights inside. But in reality, if you kind of are thinking about the rhythms of nature, we should be downregulating. And so, you know, I think that that's one thing, our thyroid metabolism coming down. But I also think that the respiratory system is under quite a lot of pressure because, you know, when we're outside, it's cold. It's kind of a shock to our mucous membranes. When we go inside, it's usually, you know, we've got the heat on and it's really dry and it dries out our mucous membranes. And so I think that makes us more vulnerable to get colds. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting, as I was saying, the, you know, aromatherapy steams, you know, if you're doing it with things like rosemary and thyme, any of the mints or eucalyptus and tree tree, wintergreen or pine, I think all of those are, they open up your respiratory system. You know, the thing about aromatherapy is it's one place where, you know, our sense of smell, the cells that connect directly to our cranial nerves. So it's like the best way to really kind of get to our brains and kind of stimulate things and open up the respiratory system. And you can also put water, you know, in front of your heater if you've got forced heat, which many people do. Put a dish of water in front of where your heater ducts are and put a few drops of essential oil in it. And that will, you know, kind of moisten the air, but also kind of protect you because you're putting kind of antimicrobial essential oils into the system. And then the last thing I want to say about that is often you've opened up your respiratory system, and then you want to kind of tone up that tissue in the respiratory system. So I recommend that people put just a few drops of oil in their nose. This is something that is very traditional in, say, Ayurvedic medicine. It's called a nasya. And what it does is you're putting, they actually use an oil with a herb called calamus in it, which is supposed to open up your third eye. Wouldn't that be nice? But they actually put a couple of drops. They use sesame oil, but you can use any kind of oil, avocado or olive oil, and then just tilt your head back so that the oil goes up into your sinuses, and it lubricates and protects that mucous membrane after it's been kind of opened up. And so it's a technique that hasn't really been kind of done here in the U.S., but it really seems to help stop you from getting colds and tone up your sinuses so they're kind of cleared out. Yeah. So it's a really easy thing to do and extremely pleasant as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, funny you say that, because as I mentioned earlier, I got sick while I was on vacation last week, and my girlfriend and I went to do a little spa day, and I was completely congested, and the masseuse just put some eucalyptus up to my nose, and it like cleaned out my sinuses almost instantly. Like, it was very impressive how quickly it worked. It was like, oh, okay, can I take some of that home with me for the rest of the day?
But it's not expensive either to buy any of these things. And I will tell you that you don't actually need the essential oil, like rosemary and thyme and sage. If you have them in your kitchen, they work great in just a bowl of boiling water and then put a towel over your head.
Okay. That's something to look into. So basically what you were just talking about was kind of some of the global traditions aligned with seasonal change. Do you think we could go into some more of those, like some more examples of that, like TCM or like humoral theory?
Yeah. So, you know, I will say again that all of them have this kind of tradition, whether you're looking at Ayurveda or TCM or humoral theory is really based on kind of what we would call Yunani Tib. So it's kind of Greco-Persian. That was kind of melded into European herbalism and then kind of brought to the US and then combined with Native American. So it's a bit of a mix of everything. But in all of those systems, you'll find that they often really talk about making sure that you've kind of cleaned your body out so you're ready to go into the winter time. And so they, like in traditional Native American healing, that change of season is doing a sage lodge. So you're going in and doing a sweat lodge with usually with a fire in the middle, and you're heating up rocks and you're in there sweating out any toxins you might have. It's the same thing in both Ayurveda and TCM, where they talk about dry brushing. So that's, you know, really stimulating your skin. You can do it in the shower, but without soap. And so you're really just, having a kind of a nice natural bristle brush and scrubbing your skin, and you always do it towards your heart. And so you're kind of opening up your skin, and you're also improving your circulation. And so you're brushing your skin towards your heart. Right. The other thing that you'll see in a lot of different traditions is, and particularly in Ayurveda, doing kind of therapeutic baths that are often quite, hot. And then you're putting in, sometimes you're putting in things like barley or oatmeal, particularly if you have dry skin. You might put them in like a sock and you're rubbing it on your skin. They're really both very demulcent. So you're kind of soothing any dry skin, but then you're putting kind of calming either herbs or essential oils in the water. So traditional for autumn are things like cedar or myrrh and frankincense, bay leaves, citrus, and sometimes lavender. It depends on if you want to be kind of slightly stimulating, but with baths, they tend to be calming and relaxing. And so again, you're looking at kind of different body treatments that are traditional throughout the different kinds of traditions.
Right. Are there any kind of vitamins that would be good to supplement with all that too?
Sure. I mean, diving into kind of herbs and supplements, I think that there are a number of different things that you can really think about. And that is, coming up to autumn, winter, you start to think about roots, berries, and herbs that are a little bit spicy.
Right.
And also a little bit heavier. So, we like with foods that you're thinking about that are a little bit heavier, you're also thinking about herbs that are a little bit heavier. And we talk about, herbal energetics, basically. And so in herbal energetics, you're looking at herbs that are hot or cold. And so colder herbs are herbs that are bitter. And hot herbs are herbs that are pungent. So those heating herbs kind of warm the body and stimulate your circulation and metabolism and heat up the body. And so that's really what you're looking for when you're thinking about herbs. And the other thing you're looking at is you're looking at what we would call sweet or neutral herbs, because those sweet or neutral herbs are really nourishing and bodybuilding, and they have what we call polysaccharides in them, and those polysaccharides seem to really support the immune system. And so you're looking at herbs that I think work really well. The other thing they have in them is something called inulin, which helps stabilize the blood sugar level. And so you're really looking. So what am I talking about? So if you're thinking about herbs that have polysaccharides and inulin in them, and that may also be a little bit spicy, you're thinking about ginger and turmeric and chili.
That's great news. My girlfriend's family loves chili oil, so.
It's the perfect thing to come in because it really heats you up.
Yeah, it does. Especially the way.
I mean, I laugh because my family's originally from the Ozark Mountains. And I remember when I was a kid and we used to go back there, if our feet were cold, my grandmother would just put a little pinch of cayenne in our socks. And it really did warm your feet up. And so it's not something you probably think of. But, we also want to think about herbs that are what we would call adaptogens. And herbs that are adaptogens help you cope with stress. And that stress can be kind of winter weather. So ginseng is a classic one. Or I don't know if you've ever heard of the herb called astragalus. It's a Chinese and Ayurvedic herb. A lot of the different mushrooms are really very supportive to the immune system, like shiitake and reishi. And also herbs that are, berries, because in autumn you're picking berries. So elderberry in particular, I think, is one of the best kind of panaceas as you go into the wintertime. And you can get elderberry syrup and just take, a tablespoon of that a day. Cranberries and hawthorn berries also are very supportive for the immune system and for the heart as well. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about spice, all of those spices actually, speed up metabolism. So things like cinnamon and coriander, cardamom and allspice, all the stuff you might put in a you know, a spice to apple cider, black pepper, a little bit of black pepper. And so you're thinking about herbs that are going to warm you up. And mm-hmm. I will also say the herbs that people normally just use in their, you know, in their turkey or chicken stuffing or in their spaghetti sauce are some of the most antimicrobial herbs that you can use. Mm-hmm. Thyme, sage, and oregano. Really, because they're very high in essential oils and very antimicrobial.
Gotcha. So for people who are interested in maybe getting access to some of this, where's a good place to like obtain some of this stuff? Most of the herbs sound pretty easy to find, like a typical grocery store.
Yeah, certainly. And I would say that going to, you know, any of the kind of a little bit more organic stores. I mean, nowadays, I think you can find stuff at, you know, Aldi, Giant, maybe not Aldi, but Giant and, you know, some of the, just the big department stores, Wegmans. But if you go to some of the ones like My Organic Market, Mom's or Whole Foods, any of those, you often can find these in packets. You know, with the turmeric and ginger, you can often find them and cranberries, elderberry syrup. You can find those just in the whole, you know, the herbal medicine section or in the grocery section. So, you know, I think if you had to choose, if you can find fresh herbs, it's better. And yeah. I will say that thyme, sage, oregano, and ginger and cranberries, you can usually just find, you know, in the fresh produce department. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have them, you can always go to the dried section.
Right. That makes sense.
I mean, the one other thing, and I didn't answer the question that you asked me, and that was any kind of supplements or vitamins. I think if I start to get a cold, the first thing I do is try to find some zinc lozenges.
Okay.
Because they have to be lozenges. You need to chew them. Mm-hmm. Because zinc actually interrupts or interferes with the protein coat of viruses. And so if you can start chewing zinc right away, it'll often stop you from getting that cold that you just start to feel coming on. Okay. And so if I had to pick two things to do, if I felt like I had something coming on, it would be zinc lozenges and elderberry syrup. If I want to protect myself, then I'm thinking about vitamin C with the bioflavonoids and essential fatty acids, because in the form of fish oil, because the essential fatty acids have A and D vitamins, and those protect your mucous membranes.
Okay, good to know. All pretty easy to access stuff too. You can get fish pretty much anywhere, any grocery store, in little tablets.
Exactly, and you know, I honestly think that often people make it too complicated. And I think self-care should be easy and it should be accessible.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're coming into the, you know, the holiday season. People are definitely more excited about getting ready to just eat everything in sight. I know I'm looking forward to. But just to curtail that a little bit, maybe we could like talk about some easy and healthy winter recipes that we could go to instead of, you know, making another ham or turkey right away. I mean, they're fun in moderation, but I can't insist on turkey for an entire season.
It's so true. Well, you know, again, I would go back to, you know, thinking about what I had said before, and that is, you know, making soup with those orange vegetables that have so much nutrient in them. So that and also root vegetables like a kind of spicy onion, kind of French onion soup, where you're sauteing onions till they kind of caramelize in some olive oil, and then adding some nice long simmered chicken stock. And that is
really good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you're throw in some garlic as well, and maybe a little bit of ginger. And that's a really nice, nourishing soup. Or just cooking up some sweet potatoes and carrots boiling them up, maybe adding a little bit of a chicken or vegetable stock to it. And also putting in some thyme and sage and oregano and so a few garlic cloves. And then once everything is soft, yes, pureeing it. I use a stick blender, very handy. And then you have a really nice, nourishing, tasty soup. You know, the other thing which I really like to do is that I have a small crock pot. And I will just fill that crock pot up in the morning with water and just throw in a cinnamon stick and maybe a piece of star anise, a couple of cloves and a bit of lemon rind or orange rind, and just let that cook while I'm, you know, on my computer working, because so many people are working at home. And then I've got a nice kind of crock pot tea. If you want to put in some black tea, you can, or sometimes I put in rooibos, which is, or honey bush, which is a kind of a nice, sweet South African herb that's also supportive for the immune system. And so you don't want to be drinking a lot of cold fluids. And so just having that nice kind of crock pot, spicy, hot drink is a really nice thing, and it's made, you know, it's in the crock pot. You just walk in there and have a couple of cups of it. And I think that in itself, I think it's important to hydrate as well. And I think it's important to hydrate with warm fluids. So, you know, I think that in itself is nourishing to the body.
Well, I'm taking note of that. That sounds like some good winter recipes. I like that onion soup in particular. That sounds very good. I'm gonna have to try that one. moving on with Thanksgiving coming up, you know, there's not just the whole concept of overstuffing ourselves and eating ourselves into a coma, but we try to talk about and place emphasis on the concept of gratitude. You know, Thanksgiving coming up this coming week, and I've read that there's a few studies that suggest practicing gratitude can lead to better physical and psychological health. What can you tell us about this practice, the concept of being grateful?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think it's been such a kind of tumultuous time. And, you know, I have to say, I think that over the past year and a half, we've really kind of tried to keep going. And right. I think that people have in some ways kind of reached the end of their tether, you know. And I think that whenever I kind of get to that point, I think you have to think, just go, okay, I need to keep things into perspective. And I think that, again, that can really be a catalyst into thinking about what's working well, you know, what's keeping you grounded, and how can you keep going forward? And so, you know, I think there's a few things. I think there are things that you can do that will really help. You know, one of the things that I often do is I think that just stopping, when you start to get overwhelmed, just really stop and take some deep breaths and just think about all the positives in your life. And I right. think that this is the time of the year to really think about what's really brought us closer together. You know, that really it's been our community, it's been our friends and family. And I think that just, really affirming that with ourselves, maybe touching base with our friends and family a little bit more, because I think that in itself is really very helpful. And it's absolutely true. I mean, the Latin root of the word of gratitude is gratia, and it means thankful. you know, by favor. So you're actually doing something for someone else. And so, you know, I think that this is something that it, and usually it's just something that's spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I think it really does help with resilience. And actually, there's quite a lot of research. And they found that if, particularly with things like PTSD and veterans coming back, that if they put gratitude practices into their daily life, it really seemed to help with the PTSD. And right. So, you know, I think that there's actually lots of research out there that seems to show that if you are working with gratitude practices, it will really build your resiliency and lower both stress and depression. And the more social support you have, the more it helps. And I also think that, so, you know, it's all very well to say, you know, we need to be grateful for things.
Right.
But, you know, then you need to think about how do you do that? And I think that we really have to kind of consciously put gratitude into our lives. And, you know, one of the things I get my students to think about is they do practice because, you know, in health promotion, we think about health behavior change. And really, we often have to change to help with our own self-care.
Right.
And so one of the small steps they do while they're in their health behavior course is every morning when they get up, that as soon as their feet hit the ground, they stop and think about what one or two things that they're grateful for that day. And it's just a really nice way to start the day. What are you happy for that day? The other thing, and you could do it as you're going to bed too, and just before you take your feet off the floor. The other thing is that I tell people to go out and go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a long walk. They just need to get outside and they need to look around them. And I like them to take a picture of one thing that day that really interests them and that helps them stay curious. And I think that in itself helps people ground and just have gratitude for their surroundings. And I think that having time in nature, or even just maybe you're in the middle of the city, but walking into a park, hanging out with the squirrels is a really good way to de-stress and to get things into perspective. And so I think that, you know, we really have had a bit of a hard time in the past year and a half. But I think that making sure that you tell people how much they mean to you, get the social support you need, and always make sure that you think about those things that are keeping you going.
Yeah, absolutely. And pretty easy steps to follow, you know, just the act of kind of consciously being grateful, taking time to be mindful of the things that you're grateful for. And for people who are kind of like interested in just ways to practice, you know, being grateful, or tips on like supporting their immune system, do you have any, or do you know where people could like find this information, like a good resource?
I will tell you that at the university where I work, Maryland University of Integrative Health, if they go to the website, it's muih.edu, we have regular, you know, webinars about, you know, resilience we have a gratitude newsletter that comes out every Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And so if you go onto the website and sign up, you'll be sent a gratitude to newsletter every single Tuesday. And it gives you all kinds, it talks about, you know, what gratitude means. It takes you to places where you can read about gratitude. It gives you gratitude action steps. Mm-hmm. And I will say that we have webinars on everything at the university that are free. And so you can learn, you know, more about herbal medicine. You know, I'm the chair of the health promotion department, but I used to be the clinical chair of the herbal medicine department because I have a master of public health, but I'm also a nurse and a herbalist. And okay. So you'll find that if you go onto that website, they talk about all kinds of different kind of integrative health. So you can find out tips about eating healthy foods, about herbs that are work for you, about acupuncture and acupressure points that you can actually do. And we also have auricular acupuncture there that is in the community. So you can just walk in whenever they're doing it and you are reclining in these little chairs and getting acupuncture done on your ears, which just completely relaxes you. So I will say it's a really good one-stop shop.
Oh, absolutely. So people interested in pursuing that, how can we get in touch with you and the Maryland University of Integrated Health?
So you just go to the website for Maryland. So it's muih.edu.
Okay.
So if you just put that into your search engine, or if you want to type out Maryland University of Integrative Health, if you go to the front page, the title page of the university, and look at community, it's got all kinds of both videos and it'll talk about when and where you can go for auricular acupuncture, because it's really out there for the community. If you want to get in touch with me, my email is cwingo@muih.edu.
All right. Excellent. Claudia, thank you so much. We're approaching the end of our show here. So in keeping with the theme of the upcoming holiday season, why don't we try to close on like a message of gratitude? So why don't we start? What are you grateful for?
I'm certainly grateful for my family. I will tell you that my husband has been stuck in Australia for a year and a half because of COVID. Wow. And I'm about to go there in 2 weeks.
Well, that's great.
And so I'm particularly excited to see him. Yeah. so I'm very, very grateful about that. And I'm grateful that I'm about to go up to Philadelphia and spend time with my sister, my nieces and nephews, and their wonderful cat, Echo. And I'm in the process. I have in the oven, as we speak, a pear and apple pie to take there. So I'm going to be grateful to eat it when I finally get to have
some. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. We have a lot to be grateful for. On my end, I'm grateful for my health, to have a great support system with my family, my girlfriend and her family welcoming me in for the holiday season. I'm very grateful to have the people in my life that I have chief above all. I'd say a lot of emphasis on just spending time with our loved ones this season. I think we all need more of that.
Yeah. And I think that we've figured out that things aren't that worth that much. It's people and community that are worth it.
Right. Absolutely. That's what it all, really boils down to at the end. So we're just about done here. Just before we go, I'm just going to do a little closing statement. I'd just like to say we at Dragon Digital Radio are very grateful for the opportunity to engage in meaningful conversations like this with very experienced professionals like yourself. And, we're grateful for our community partners and, the quality podcasts we're able to produce with relationships that we're able to, build with the community. And, for anybody who's watching, just so you know, our podcasts are all available at dragondigitalradio.pod.com. We can't express enough gratitude to listeners, our followers, people like you, Claudia, who come on our show and take time to talk with us in the community. And thank you, everybody, for your messages, your comments, your likes, your shares. We're not taking it for granted. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much again for joining me today on the show. It's been very informative. Everybody out there, have a great Thanksgiving, have a great holiday season, And we will see you all again next time.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.